Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Hey, yesterday I finished up Greg McKeown's Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. What a fantastic read. This is one of those books that has made an immediate impact on my life and in my teaching. As a matter of fact, I shared aspects of it yesterday with two different groups of leaders. Let me give you the summary. Greg says, be selective. Essentialism is about doing only those things that are essential. In other words, it's not about doing more, it's about less but better. So he would say, ask yourself, what is the very most important thing you should be doing with your time and resources right now? And that's a great question. And I would encourage you to read the book in its entirety, even though I think you can grasp the concept in the very first few pages. But I'd say read the entire book, and here's why. Near the end, on page 205, McKeown writes this. The essentialist designs a routine that makes achieving what you've identified as essential the default position. In other words, the default position of your life. And the beauty of essentialism is McKeown helps us get to that place in our lives. Now, I share my appreciation for the author and the concept and the practical ways he takes us on this essentialist journey, because I don't want you to think I'm slamming him or his book as I offer one little pushback. Perhaps one word of caution might be a better way of putting it when it comes to the idea of being an essentialist. If I have one warning or one pushback, it's this. Be on guard against the shadow side of essentialism. Now you might say, what do you mean by that, Tommy? Well, what I mean is that there can be an inherent dark side to essentialism in that, in my quest to narrow my focus, I neglect others. Or in my desire to build a routine, I actually push people away who get in the way of my routine. Or in my determination to do only those things that are essential for me, I significantly or totally ignore you. And what's worse is that this intense focus on me means that I'm not focusing on you. I'm not loving you. And I can even go to the place of excusing it or even celebrating this self-centeredness under the banner of being an essentialist. Let me give you three examples. First, I can use essentialism to go back on my word. You say, how so? Well, Greg McKeown writes this, and he's talking about the necessity in the process of narrowing our focus of being willing to uncommit to certain things to which we've already committed. He writes, it's true that uncommitting can be harder than simply not committing in the first place. We feel guilty saying no to something or someone we've already committed to, and let's face it, no one likes to go back on their word, yet learning how to do so, that is, how to go back on our word in ways that will garner you respect for your courage, focus, and discipline is crucial to becoming an essentialist. Now I look at that and I say, whoa, wait a minute. Psalm 15:4 tells me that the person of character keeps her oath even when it hurts. Number two, I can use essentialism to focus on my needs to the exclusion of focusing on your needs. And he writes about the work Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi has done on creativity and how it demonstrates how highly creative people use strict routines to free up their minds. Listen to what Mihaly says. Most creative individuals find out early what their best rhythms are for sleeping, eating, and working, and abide by them even when it's tempting to do otherwise. They wear clothes that are comfortable. Now listen to this. They interact only with people they find congenial. They do only things they think are important. And then he says, of course, such idiosyncrasies are not endearing to those who have to deal with them. And I want to say, you think? The shadow side of essentialism is that I can excuse being reclusive and particular. And Proverbs says, hey, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. In other words, the one who gets in these super strict routines that separate them from other people is essentially selfish. And selfishness, last time I checked, is certainly no virtue that we uphold. Number three, I can use essentialism to eliminate all the difficult and troublesome people who are consuming that precious commodity we call time. Listen to what McEwen says.
Typically, when accountants allocate a budget, they use last year's budget as the baseline for the next year's projection. But with zero-based budgeting, they use zero as the baseline. In other words, every item in the proposed budget must be justified from scratch. While this takes more effort, it has many advantages. It efficiently allocates resources on the basis of needs rather than history. It detects exaggerated budget requests. It draws attention to obsolete operations. And it encourages people to be clearer in their purpose and how their expenses align to that project. You can apply zero-based budgeting to your own endeavors. Instead of trying to budget your time on the basis of existing commitments, assume that all bets are off. All previous commitments are gone. Then begin from scratch, asking which you would add today. You can do this with everything from the financial obligations you have to projects you are committed to, even relationships you are in. Every use of time, energy, or resources has to justify itself anew. If it no longer fits, eliminate it altogether.
Now again, I step back from that and I say, wait a minute. Love doesn't weigh opportunity cost. Love doesn't live by the concept of zero-based budgeting. Now I appreciate McEwen, and he's pulling Greek from time to time, and he's going back to the Greeks from time to time. So let me throw a little Greek at you. The Greek word for love is agapao, or agape. And at its essence, it is me giving up my rights for you. Essentialism be damned, if I may be so crass. Listen to one of the most beautiful descriptions of love, and it comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul. He writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Even when love causes me to go against my essentialist rhythms that I'm trying to build in my life." So let me say this. As a principle, for effectively navigating a myriad of opportunities and invitations, essentialism is fantastic. But as a strict ideology that governs all of my life, if I'm not careful, essentialism can leave me essentially self-centered. And with all that said, at the end, McEwen writes this: "The point I want to make here is that focusing on the essentials is a choice. It's your choice. That in itself is incredibly liberating." And with that, I wholeheartedly agree. Choose to be an essentialist, but guard against the shadow side that makes essentialism essentially meism. Well, that's my thought on my walk with Greg McEwen and his excellent work, Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. Now what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.